text today as we begin the Advent season, Judges 13, 1 through 23. Hear now the word of the Lord. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, so the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. A certain man of Zorah named Manoah from the clan of the Danites had a wife who was sterile and remained childless. The angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, "You are sterile and childless, but you're going to conceive and have a son. Now see to it that you drink no wine or other fermented drink, and that you do not eat anything unclean, because you will conceive and give birth to a son. No razor may be used on his head, because the boy is to be a Nazarite, set apart to God from birth, and he will begin the deliverance of Israel from the hands of the Philistines." Then the woman went to her husband and told him, "A man of God came to me. He looked like an angel of God, very awesome. I didn't ask him where he came from, and he didn't tell me his name. But he said to me, 'You will conceive and give birth to a son. Now then drink no wine or other fermented drink, and do not eat anything unclean, because the boy will be a Nazarite of God from birth until the day of his death.' Then Manoah prayed to the Lord, 'O Lord, I beg you, let the man of God you sent to us come again to teach us how to bring up the boy who is going to be born.' God heard Manoah, and the angel of God came again to the woman while she was out in the field. But her husband Manoah was not with her. The woman hurried to tell her husband, 'He's here, the man who appeared to me the other day.' Manoah got up and followed his wife. When he came to the man, he said, 'Are you the one who talked to my wife?' 'I am,' he said. So Manoah asked him, 'When your words are fulfilled, what is to be the rule for the boy's life and work?' The angel of the Lord answered, 'Your wife must do all that I have told her. She must not eat anything that comes from the grapevine, nor drink any wine or any other fermented drink, nor eat anything unclean. She must do everything I have commanded her.' Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, 'We would like for you to stay until we prepare a young goat for you.' The angel of the Lord replied, 'Even though you detain me, I will not eat any of your food. But if you prepare a burnt offering, offer it to the Lord.' Manoah did not realize that it was the angel of the Lord. Then Manoah inquired of the angel of the Lord, 'What is your name, so we may honor you when your word comes true?' He replied, 'Why do you ask my name? It is beyond understanding.' Then Manoah took a young goat together with the grain offering and sacrificed it on a rock to the Lord. And the Lord did an amazing thing while Manoah and his wife watched. As the flame blazed up from the altar toward heaven, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame. Seeing this, Manoah and his wife fell with their faces to the ground. When the angel of the Lord did not show himself again to Manoah and his wife, Manoah realized it was the angel of the Lord. 'We are doomed to die,' he said to his wife. 'We have seen God.' But his wife answered, 'If the Lord had meant to kill us, he would have not accepted a burnt offering and grain offerings from our hands, nor shown us all these things, or now told us this.'" This is God's word. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Our prayer today is that we would hear your voice through your word. Lord, that your spirit would come and take the humble words of the preacher and fill them with power of your spirit. Impress these words into our hearts and lives and teach us, Lord. Teach us to walk before you, to hear your voice, to be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. Help us today, Lord, we pray. Help us to hear your voice, and your voice only. We ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Our text today involves two long-standing problems, and the solution to those problems evokes a crisis. Problem number one is that the Israelites have been under the domination of the Philistines. In fact, if you look over in chapter 15, verse 11, it says that the Philistines are rulers over the Israelites. How can that be? How can the people of God, the chosen people, the sons of Israel, how can they be ruled by this pagan, idol-worshiping nation of the Philistines? Well, your answer is there in verse 1. It's almost the endless refrain of the book of Judges. Again, the people of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Again, they did evil in the sight of the Lord, and he subjected them to punishment. And that punishment in this case was 40 years of domination by the Philistines. Problem number 2 is a long-standing problem also. Manoah and his wife, we're not told her name, are childless. She's barren. She is sterile. She cannot have children. And their marriage has gone on for some time. It's become obvious to everyone that she is barren. And with the common perception of that day, that was looked upon as God's judgment in some way. She has done something. It's sort of like we've been dealing with in Job. Job's friends are sure that he has done something to deserve this punishment that God has poured out on him. In the same way, the friends and family of Manoah and his wife are certain that she has done something for this judgment of God to come upon her. But God in his great mercy, God in his almighty power, is going to bring solutions to these problems. In fact, we should say solution, not solutions, because the child to be born to Manoah and his wife is going to be the judge who's going to deliver or begin to deliver Israel from the hands of the Philistines. So one event is going to be the solution to two long-standing problems. And Manoah's wife hear of this from the angel of the Lord. Now when you hear that term in the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord, not an angel, the angel of the Lord, it refers to the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ. There are lots of theophanies in the Old Testament. And if you notice the sermon title, Theophanies and Foreshadowings, you might have wondered why we were in Judges for Advent sermons. Perhaps this will become clearer to you as we go along, or next week or the week after. But these theophanies appear in the Old Testament. God appears to his people. He speaks to them. He directs them. He delivers them. He helps them. Most of these theophanies, by far the greatest majority of these theophanies, are the angel of the Lord. In fact, we could probably say with a relative amount of certainty that every theophany in the Old Testament is in fact a Christophany, an appearance of Christ. Because in Matthew 11:27, you read and it says that no one knows the Son but the Father, and no one knows the Father but the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. So I would say we could make that statement that all these appearances of God in the Old Testament, all these revelations, all this spoken instruction to his people is through the Lord Jesus Christ, the pre-incarnate Christ, the angel of the Lord, sometimes called the angel of the presence. And there are certain characteristics of these theophanies that you will see as we go through these. First, they are initiated by God. It is God who does this. And he appears suddenly and unexpectedly to these people. He comes pronouncing deliverance salvation and judgment. He comes to his people, and it is a manifestation sometimes of strange natural events. There is upheaval in the natural world. There is often fear on the part of the humans who see him and see these things. And there is also verbal revelation. God appears in order to speak. Every time you see God manifest himself in the Old Testament, he comes in order to speak to his people. He comes in order to pronounce deliverance and salvation for his people and judgment upon his enemies. Well, it is this speaking that the angel of the Lord says to Manoah's wife, "You are sterile and childless." Well, so much for the speculation, so much for the whispering of the neighbors, so much for the wondering of the people. Here it is. She is sterile and childless. She cannot have children. But you will conceive and give birth to a son. And you talk about a dichotomous statement. There you have it. You are sterile and childless, but you will conceive and give birth to a son. Now, he says, see to it. Now. The now and the see in the Hebrew are emphatic. Now, beginning right now, right this very minute. See to it, make sure that you do not drink any wine, any fermented beverage, any of the fruit of the vine, or eat anything unclean. Because, he says, because you, and again that's emphatic in the Hebrew, you will give birth to a son. Don't cut his hair. He's to be a Nazarite. He is to be consecrated to the Lord from the day of his birth. And he will begin the deliverance of his people, of the Israelites, from the yoke of oppression of the Philistines. 40 years of oppression. A whole generation has grown up and known nothing but Philistine domination. And this is to be the solution to that problem. Well, Manoah's wife goes to her husband, and she says, "I was out in the field today, and a man of God appeared to me." She doesn't know it's the angel of the Lord. She said, "Kind of look like an angel, but he's a man of God. He's a prophet, apparently, because he knew my condition. I never have seen the man before. He knew my condition, and he told me I was going to have a son." You know what I find very interesting about this story? Manoah and his wife never seem to question at all the idea that she's going to conceive and bear a son. You don't see the least hint in here that they have any question about that. In fact, Manoah just prays to the Lord and says, "Lord, would you send this man of God back so we can get instruction on how to raise the boy?" Now, his wife had received that instruction, but I think she was probably in such shock after the first sentence that she wasn't really paying attention to what was going on after that. She's been married all this time, no children. Here he comes and he says, "You're barren, you're childless, but you're going to have a son." I think the rest of it just sort of went over her head. And she said, "Well, I think he said this and that." Well, I'm reading into the scripture. But at any rate, Manoah, for whatever reason, prays and says, "Would you send this man back?" Well, the angel of the Lord comes back. She's out in the field again. I don't know where Manoah is, but she's out in the field working, I guess. And she runs and gets her husband and comes back. And Manoah has some questions here for the angel of the Lord. But again, throughout these questions and throughout this, there's not the least bit of indication that there's any question in their mind about her having this son. In fact, Manoah says, when your words are fulfilled, what is to be the manner in which we should raise this boy? I mean, he has just accepted this. I also find it sort of interesting what's missing here, though. They're focused on this son that's to be born, but they don't raise any questions about the deliverance of Israel. They don't raise a single question about the Philistines. How's this going to happen? When's it going to happen? When are we going to be free from these people? I think they've just sort of accepted that. They've grown up with this their whole life, probably, or at least most of their adult life. It's just the way it is. But they're focused on this boy. And I think their focus on Samson and their spoiling of him led to many of the failures in his adult life. That's another sermon for another day, but I think that stands behind much of what happened to him as a man. But Manoah and his wife, throughout this interchange with the angel of the Lord, are just spiritually blind. They cannot see what is right in front of their face. This is the angel of the Lord. This is the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ. Look at some of the things. Manoah says, what's your name? The angel says, my name is Wonderful. It's a better translation than what the NIV has. In fact, the word is wonderful there in the Hebrew. My name is Wonderful. I know why the NIV translated it that way, because that word in the Hebrew means a phenomenon that is beyond human understanding. It is something outside the realm of human experience. So my name is Wonderful. Also in some of your other translations there in verse 19, you will notice a little different translation than the NIV. It says that the angel of the Lord did wonders before Manoah and his wife. They saw wondrous things at his hand. And then he ascends to heaven in the flame of the sacrifice. They bow down on the ground and worship him. He does nothing to restrain them from worshiping them. And it's only at that point that Manoah realizes that this is the angel of the Lord. He cries out, we're going to die, for we have seen God. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has appeared to them. And the crisis for Manoah and his wife is that they have seen God face to face. But you know, Manoah's wife here, her faith rises above her fear. She said, if he had intended to kill us, he would not have shown us all these things, these wonders that he showed us. And she says, interestingly, nor would he have told us these things that are going to come to pass. If we're dead, how are we going to have a son? That's common sense to her. So they do not see, they do not understand at first what's happening here. But in God's mercy and God's power here, there's some things that should be seen. God manifests himself in this theophany. He comes to his people. He speaks. But he also demonstrates his power. This is a thing that lies outside the realm of possibility. Here is a woman who is unable to have children, and she's going to have a child. It's God's power that does that. God comes and commands his people. He lays down precepts. He lays down rules for her to follow. And she is to follow those. And he's very emphatic about the fact that she is to follow those. God also comes and demonstrates his covenant faithfulness. He promised this land to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. And yet the Philistines run over the land. They take the crops. They enslave the people. They dominate the Israelites. But God in his covenant faithfulness is going to deliver them from that. He is going to preserve his people and his land just as he promised. God is also here, not only demonstrates his power, but he demonstrates his grace. Samson could have been born to any woman in Israel. It didn't have to be this woman. But God demonstrates his grace to this couple with no child and blesses them with this child. He shows forth his grace and his power in doing this. So for 40 years, Israel, because of their sin, is under the domination of the Philistines. God comes. The Lord Jesus Christ himself comes and appears to Manoah and his wife and tells them this glorious news that they're going to have a child. And he's going to be the one who's going to begin the deliverance of Israel. And this theophany, this appearance of Christ, is just a foreshadowing of another announcement that we read about this morning in our New Testament reading. Except it wasn't 40 years. It was almost 400 years that Israel was under the domination of the Greeks and the Egyptians and the Seleucids and the Romans, because Israel had once again done evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord had handed them over to their enemies for 400 years, longer than this country has been here. They've been dominated by other countries. And not only were they under the rulership of foreigners and Gentiles and pagans and idol worshipers, it was also silent. There was no word from God. There was no theophany. There was no appearance of the angel of the Lord. There was not even a prophet to come and say, "Thus saith the Lord." And then one day, Zechariah, whose wife is barren and old, and he's on up in years. One day, an angel of the Lord comes to him. The first word from the Lord in 400 years. He's in the temple. He has been chosen by lot for a very special thing that the priests do twice a day. They burn incense on the altar that's in front of the Holy of Holies, in front of the curtain that separates the Holy of Holies from the holy place. And when the priest does that, all the other priests leave the temple, and he's alone. And a priest could only do this once in a lifetime by rule. Once you have done this, you can't do it again. This was the pinnacle of his priestly experience and job. It's also the pinnacle of his life, the pinnacle of the deliverance of Israel, because he's there. The angel Gabriel comes and says, "Your wife is sterile and childless, and she's going to conceive and give birth to a son. You're going to give him the name John. And here's some rules for him to follow. He can't drink wine. He can't eat anything from the grapevine. He can't drink any fermented drink. He is to be set apart from birth for the Lord. He's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his birth, because he is going to begin the deliverance of my people. He is going to prepare the way for the Lord Jesus Christ himself to come and deliver his people, not from the Romans, but from the domination of sin, from the endless refrain of judges, from the endless refrain of human life. Once again, they did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord punished them. He is coming to free them from the domination of sin and evil. You know, Manoah and his wife, their son Samson, they focused all their attention on him. They lavished attention on him. They spoiled him. And as I said, they gave hardly any thought to the deliverance of Israel. You don't even see it mentioned in the text other than by the angel of the Lord. They had sort of gotten used to it. That's where they lived. They had their house. They had their farm. They lived pretty well. Life was rolling along. But this son, now that's something special. But the deliverance from the Philistines, they seem to give that hardly any thought at all. See, their son would begin the deliverance. And that's what the angel said. He would begin the deliverance. They were not delivered from the Philistines until King David came along. It was David who finally broke the power of the Philistines. Remember, David killed the giant. He was fighting for the Philistines. It was David, as king of Israel, who finally subjugated the Philistines and extended Israel's territory over their territory. In the same way, John is born to parents without children. And they're very excited also. In fact, I'm sure Zechariah was overwhelmed, excited, and quite literally dumbfounded because of his response to Gabriel. How can this be? You'll be silent for a while. God's been silent. You're going to be silent for a while now. But when that child came, the difference in Manoah and his wife and Zechariah and Elizabeth is a marked difference. We see in Zechariah's song at the end of Luke chapter 1, his Benedictus. He says, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, for he has raised up a horn of salvation in the house of his servant David." You see, John began the work. John began the preparation. But it was the Lord Jesus Christ himself who came. Not in a theophany, but in a true incarnation to deliver his people from sin, to deliver his people from the power of sin, to set them free. And that is Zechariah's focus. He praises God. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. He prophesies, and his prophecy is not about his son. His prophecy is about the deliverance of God's people. You know, when you come to Christmas time, there's an awful lot of people like Manoah and his wife. They're happy about it. They rejoice about it. They sing songs about it. They enjoy the joy and the gift giving and the feasting. But their focus is on that and not on the deliverance. Their focus is not on the Lord Jesus Christ. Their focus is not on when Christ came, he came to speak. And speak he did. He came to speak the good news of salvation for his people and judgment for his enemies. Judgment on all unbelievers. And so many are wrapped up in the joy, the happiness of the season. It's like Manoah and his wife and the child. They're just overcome with the happiness and the peace, goodwill to men. They miss the deliverance. They miss the speaking. They miss the proclamation of hope and the promised deliverance that comes only through the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, whether in ancient Israel or today. It is only through Jesus Christ and only through his appearance and only through his word that that deliverance takes place. Well, let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you have sent your son with the message of salvation, with the good news of the gospel. Deliverance for your people, for the elect, for all those who love you, and judgment upon unbelievers. judgment upon those who are opposed to you. Judgment for those who are caught up in the world and enjoying it just the way it is. Lord, help us at this time to set forth the truth of the gospel. Lord, help us as we enjoy the fruit of the season, the joy and the peace that just seems to pervade the world. Let's not just be partakers of your goodness. Let's be proclaimers of the message. Let us speak the truth of salvation, the truth of judgment for those who reject the free gift that you sent by the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, your Son, and the one who came and revealed himself, again, not just in a temporary theophany, but in a life, in an incarnation, taking on of our flesh in every respect, but without sin, to live and to die, in fact, to be the deliverer from sin. Lord, help us proclaim this far and wide, that people might truly know how to rejoice, how to give you thanks and praise, how to find peace with you. Lord, we ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.